I draw your attention tonight to the verse 41 in particular, where we read that it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, and Elizabeth, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Elizabeth and Mary in a spirit-filled home. Tonight I consider with you these two expectant mothers getting together in a spirit-filled home. And as we read in Malachi, so they are experiencing it. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened, and the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought on his name. So Mary and Elizabeth are together in this house. The Holy Spirit is very careful in giving us the time. Elizabeth is 6 months expectant. Mary has just conceived. She also is expectant. They both are expecting, and we read that they spend 3 months together. So we can say that the Lord Jesus, the first 3 months or so, as a babe in Mary's womb, is spending it in the house of Zacharias and in the presence of these two very godly women. And so they are fellowshipping together in the house. So in our Lord's early development, he is hearing these women folk talking and singing and praising God. He's hearing the godly voice of Elizabeth. He's hearing the godly voice of his mother. And for 3 months. Now, what do you think women do when they get together? They talk, don't they? And Elizabeth and Mary have plenty to talk about. John is in the womb. The Lord Jesus is in the other womb. And these two women are talking for 3 months. And I think that's fascinating. And I think Luke thinks it too. And the Holy Spirit is telling us, he's letting us know, this is the whole atmosphere of the first 3 months of the development of our Lord in the womb of his mother. Now, these two women are very alike, and yet they're very different. Mary's very young. Elizabeth is very old. But they're excited. They're both very excited because, you see, it's their first children. And they both know that they are boys. They're sons. So they're going to be firstborn sons. So these women are together. They have a lot to talk about. I think I know what they're talking about. They're talking about all the things that have happened in the temple with Zacharias. And they're talking about how the Spirit came down at the start of their coming into the house and all these words that they've been singing and speaking in prophecy. And then they're talking about the Old Testament scriptures. So they're having a great Bible study together. They're talking about the forerunner. They're talking about Messiah. And they're pondering these things in their hearts. So it's all very, very interesting. And our imagination could go off here in certain areas of this fascinating picture of these 3 months that they spent together. And remember, this is a house where the women are doing all the talking. John is silent in the womb, and the Lord Jesus, the unborn baby Jesus, is growing and developing in the womb, but he's also silent. And even the man of the house, Zacharias, is silent. You remember how he was struck dumb in the temple? He doesn't speak again until 9 months has passed at the circumcision of his son John. And so he's not talking. In fact, I don't even think he's hearing. But I tell you this, these two women aren't deaf, and these two women aren't dumb, and they're talking and they're chatting. And so there's plenty of chat. Now, over the 3 month period, we don't know what they're really talking about. But we're certainly introduced to the first day, what happens and what takes place. And so we have this meeting. And this meeting is characterized by an amazing event. Because the Holy Spirit comes down. As soon as Mary gives the salutation, perhaps a shalom, a short salutation, no doubt, the Spirit of God comes down. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Ghost. John leaps in the womb. There is something that is taking place that is remarkable, that is miraculous, that is amazing. The Holy Spirit has come into this house. He's identifying it with this house. He's working in this house. And the adults and the children, yes, even the children, are being remarkably affected by this outpouring of the Spirit of God in the house of Zacharias. And so these 3 months, whatever takes place in the days that are after this, they are days that are marked by the coming of the Holy Ghost into that house. And I know it was a blessed house because of that. So these 3 months begin with the Spirit and they end with the Spirit, because we read in verse 67 that now even the old father Zacharias is filled also at last with the Holy Ghost, and he prophesies as well. So the 3 months begin with the infilling of the Holy Spirit. They end with the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So all that is taking place between is marked by the presence of the Holy Ghost. This is a Spirit-filled house. And that's what I'm saying this evening. It's a Spirit-filled house. This is the kind of house you want. This is the kind of house congregation that we want. This is the kind of mother unborn children want. This is the kind of mothers that newborn children want. This is the kind of father that sons and daughters want. Parents who are filled with the Holy Ghost. And Elizabeth filled with the Holy Ghost. And Zacharias filled with the Holy Ghost. These are the kind of children we want as well. Even children born into Christian homes, filled with the Holy Ghost. John is filled with the Holy Ghost as well, from his mother's womb. That's why he leaps. You don't think it can happen? Then you don't know the Holy Spirit can work as he pleases sovereignly and where he likes, even in the womb. You don't think the Holy Spirit can bring revival and quickening? You don't think the Holy Spirit can bring leaping babies? Well, you don't know your Bible. The Holy Spirit can do this. Do you not know that even out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God the Holy Ghost can perfect praise? Do you not know that? Do you not know that he can work mightily in any human heart? What I am saying is the Holy Spirit has come into this house in a remarkable way. And I tell you this, he needs to come into our homes in a similar way. If we're going to see converts and quickenings, we need the Holy Spirit to come in a mighty way. And if he doesn't come, you'll see no conversions and no leaping children and no move of God and no quickening in the souls of the people in the house. It makes a difference when the Holy Ghost comes. And that's what's happened here. The Holy Spirit has come into the house. And let me say it for emphasis, yes, into the house, into the home. You know, the Spirit of God isn't tied to a church building. He's not tied to our meetings or to our meeting plates. The Spirit of God can be poured out on a home when two godly women get together to talk about the things of God. The Spirit of God can fall out upon them. He can come to husband and wife together as they fellowship together in the home. He can come to the Christian family whenever they talk about the things of God. The Lord delights in that, and he listens. And he hearkens. And a book of remembrance is written before him. Now I know Luke 1 is unique in many ways, because Christ is coming into the world and there's a virgin birth here. I know there is a uniqueness about these portions. But in the days following Pentecost, we know there were infillings of the Spirit frequently. And pouring outs of the Holy Ghost. And it can still happen. And so the first day of this three-month period is revealed to us, a Holy Spirit-infilling day, and we are sure that their blessed 3 months follow this period. Now, there are five people in the home, I remind you. It's a Holy Spirit-filled house. Mary is wrought upon by the Spirit. And we know in verse 35, the angel said to her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee." So we know Mary is going to be wrought upon by the Holy Ghost. We read that Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Ghost. We read also in verse 67 that Zacharias is filled with the Holy Ghost. We know that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost because the angel says he'd be filled from the womb by the Holy Ghost. And we read now that he leaps. And we know that Jesus certainly is the Messiah. He's the anointed. He is certainly going to experience the workings of the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Spirit comes upon the womb of Mary to work in that holy child Jesus. And so this is a blessed house. This is a Spirit-filled house. This is a Spirit-energized house where he is working in all the people at one time or another in this house. So we have these two godly women, very godly women. The Holy Spirit has come upon them. The Spirit has wrought in them, filled them. I remind you, they're women. They're women. Isn't that remarkable? Are women second-class Christians? Is there no service for women? Is there no infilling for women? Women can be filled with the Spirit of God as well. Women can experience unction for their service for the Lord as godly wives and godly mothers and godly members of the congregation. The New Testament opens, and it is women who are experiencing the Spirit's power. And so women are not second-class citizens in the Church of Jesus Christ. Well, let's see just a few things in this remarkable visitation of these two women. And I can only deal with generalities and not really go into a minute study of that portion of Scripture that we read. But the key here is, anything that is happening here is happening because of the presence of the Holy Ghost. And I've said, this is the kind of home you want. And this is the kind of church you want. So what does the Spirit bring this home? Well, the Spirit brings this home several things. First of all, this Holy Spirit-filled house is brought by the Holy Spirit illumination. There's illumination in this house. Light has come with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit has imparted knowledge and understanding to Elizabeth, and knowledge and understanding to Mary. The Holy Spirit imparts saving knowledge, knowledge of Christ. He gives that illumination to us so that we can see things clearly in the light of the Word. It's the Spirit that does that. We know that the Spirit's role is to take the things of Christ and to show them unto us. And he's always been doing this. Even in the Old Testament, that's what the Spirit of God is always doing. He's taking the things of Messiah and revealing them unto us. And in the New Testament, he does the same. When he's come, he'll take the things of me and show them unto you. He'll glorify me, Jesus says. And that's what's happening here in this house. You see, everyone is getting illumination when the Spirit comes into this house. They are getting that anointing. And they know all things. That's what the Spirit brings. He brings knowledge. And you, child of God, have knowledge of God and of Christ. Because you have an unction and anointing from the Holy One. And you know all things. It's the Spirit gives you that knowledge. It's the Spirit gives you that illumination, that understanding.
That's why you're different from the ungodly who are in darkness. You have the Spirit in your life, and this home has the Spirit in the midst.
We know it from the very entrance, you see. Because Mary comes in, she enters, she salutes Elizabeth. Shalom, Elizabeth! It's me, Mary!
And the Spirit falls.
And the first thing we read is the little baby in the womb, only 6 months now, only 6 months.
And he leaps. He leaps. He doesn't just get a flutter. You know, women who are pregnant get little flutters all the time. This isn't just a flutter. This is a leaping.
He's getting onto his limbs. And he's endeavoring to leap.
6 months. You know, they abort babies at 6 months, don't they? They murder them.
Babies that can leap. That the Spirit comes into them.
And so this baby is leaping. And Elizabeth relates the experience. Verse 44. As soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, as soon as you spoke, the babe leaped in my womb. And Elizabeth knows why he leaped. Oh, was it just an accident?
No.
He leaped for joy. For joy. A 6-month-old baby unborn in the womb leaping for joy.
Can a baby in the womb have the experience of joy? Yes, he can, because the Holy Spirit says it.
Now, joy, like anything else, comes through some kind of understanding or some kind of recognition and experience of sensations. And this babe has a sensation and an experience, and it knows that the Holy One is present, and it is glad at the presence of the Holy One. It has a gladness in its heart, though it has not a clear grasp and understanding necessarily of what is happening. It has a sensation of a holy presence. And this is a babe that has been wrought upon by the Spirit to have that experience and be joyful at it.
This baby is born again, because only a born again soul could have the sensation of joy in the presence of holiness. Now, I don't want to go off on a tangent here about age of understanding and all this, but I know that this is a real experience. So there is some recognition of Christ even in the unborn babe. How far John understands the matter is not the question. He's thrilled at the presence of the Lord. And that's what the Spirit does. He will make you leap at the presence of Christ. He will make you joyful at the presence of Jesus. He will make you happy in the approach of the Holy One. That's what the Holy Spirit does. But it's not only joy or John that experiences this. Elizabeth experiences the infilling as well. She gets the knowledge of Christ. You see, Mary comes in. She gives a salutation, Shalom. Mary, Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, and she speaks. You see, she speaks, and she says, Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord, the mother of my Lord has come to me? You see, she has light, she has illumination, she has understanding about Christ. You know, Mary didn't send the telegram on and say, you know, I'm expecting Elizabeth, I'm expecting the Messiah. Even in this salutation, she didn't say, Elizabeth, I'm expecting Messiah. No, she hasn't said any such thing. But with the coming of the Spirit, Elizabeth knows. She has understanding. My Lord's mother is here. And the fruit of your womb is blessed. How does she know Messiah's in her womb?
She knows because she studied all that the angel has told Zacharias as he wrote it down.
She's studied that all. And she knows.
Because the Spirit of God has illuminated all of that word and the Old Testament scriptures as well. She knows. Mary is of the house and lineage of David. She knows.
And I tell you this, when the Spirit comes, He will give us illumination concerning Christ, and Christ will become a reality, and we'll say things, my Lord, that the mother of my Lord should come to me, and the word my Lord won't just be wee words that you speak out of your mouth, but they will be tender, they will be affectionate, they will be loving, my Lord! This is what the Spirit does when He comes. He makes Christ a reality. He brings Him to us in the fullness of His power and presence.
You see, a Spirit-filled believer has no problem with the virgin birth. A Spirit-filled believer has no problem with the deity of Christ, the mother of my Lord.
Oh, Elizabeth has no problems with the virgin birth. And with the deity of Christ, she's no problem that the one in her womb, just only days developing, that one is her Lord. She has no problem with that, because the Spirit of God has taught her.
And Christians have no problem with the virgin birth. It's only the liberals, it's only the unregenerate. And Christians have no problems with the deity of Christ. It's only the unconverted. It's only the Jehovah Witnesses, the rejecters of the truth.
She is sure she has light. The darkness is gone. And I tell you, when the Spirit of God comes into your life, you'll have blessed light. And a blessed sense of the presence and reality of your Lord.
And then there's another thing that the Spirit brings when He comes. I call it recollection. Yes, recollection. It is true that the words that Mary speaks, particularly the Magnificat, is inspired, but the materials of her song are not all new. It's just a collection of Old Testament scriptures. It's just a collection of the Psalms, and especially Hannah's song in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And she knew that song because every young woman was born and bred on it, especially whenever they become pregnant or about to become pregnant. 1 Samuel chapter 2 is a cornerstone song in their study. And this girl, Mary, is familiar with this and with some of the Psalms as well. And the Spirit comes. And now it all floods back to her. Her mind is flooded with Scripture. And she gets liberty to speak, and she says, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And putting together words of Scripture here and there and yonder, she frames it into this magnificent song. What is happening? The Spirit has come into her life, and the Scripture is flooding her mind. And I tell you, the Holy Spirit does that when He comes in power. All the Scriptures that you've studied, all the sermons that you've been under, amazingly and remarkably, that just floods into the mind. And you have this liberty and this unction to speak, and your Scripture saturated. That's what the Spirit does. He recollects the Scriptures. You see, He doesn't bring anything new. If you've been negligent of studying the Scriptures, and if you've been negligent of being at the house of God and hearing the sermons, there's nothing there. There's nothing there for the Spirit to use. But if you've been diligent and read your Bible, and sometimes you think, I've got nothing from it, and maybe you've been in sermon faithfully there, and maybe sometimes you think, I get very little from it, but I tell you this, when the Spirit comes in a time of crisis and emergency, it'll all flow back in again. Because that's what He does. He brings a recollection of Scripture. He always takes us to the law and to the testimony. And the Scriptures flood into the mind. And you will find this. Maybe in times of danger or in crisis, but you don't panic, because the Spirit comes and He brings this flood of the Word of God, and it can even pour out of your mouth.
You know, that's what preachers need. That's why they need unction, to speak the word of God. Not only when they're preaching it, but when they're studying it as well, that the Spirit will bring the recollection of the scriptures so that they will have a word that will have some unction because the Spirit has brought it. You need that to witness as well. And it's wonderful when the Spirit comes and he gives you that word. This house is filled with that now. What a blessed 3 months those two women had. But you know, there's something else that comes with the Holy Ghost. I call it jubilation. Joy. He brings joy and gladness. You see, the joy unspeakable and full of glory that was so experienced in the lives of the early church came because there were so many infillings of power and so many outpourings of the Spirit. We know Zacharias has been rebuked for his unbelief. He hasn't much joy, you know. He's lost it.
He will have to wait until he gets his song. He'll have to wait 9 months.
When at last, being fully chastened and rebuked for his unbelief, he writes, his name is John. And then the Spirit graciously comes and brings him the joy. And he has a song now at the end of this chapter.
But he has to wait. But these women have the song. She's filled with the Holy Ghost and she sings the Beatitude. Yes, the first of the songs of this woman, the Beatitude, and then Mary, she's filled as well, and she sings the Magnificat.
Those words come from the very first word of each song, because the first word is blessed in the lips of Elizabeth, and the first word, while it is not so in our English version, it is in the Greek, the first word of Mary is magnify. Magnifies the Lord, my soul, the Magnificat. And so they're full of magnification and they're full of blessing because they're full of the Spirit.
Full of joy. They have a song because the Spirit has come into their lives. They have joyful words of jubilation because the Spirit has come in. They have words of gladness. They sing because the Spirit-filled life brings joy. And this is a joyful home. It's not a miserable home. It's a joyful home. Even the babe, he leaps. He leaps in jubilation for joy.
Because the Holy Spirit brings joy. He brings real joy. Lasting joy. Unspeakable joy. That's what the Spirit does.
Jubilation, gladness.
A Christian's home need not and should not be a miserable place. With some Christian sitting in the corner, down and depressed and moaning and groaning. No, there need not be that experience. If the Holy Spirit comes in power, there'll be songs in the night.
Yes. Songs even in the night when the Spirit comes.
And so there are these six songs in these opening chapters which we can't go into because Christ is present and the Holy Spirit is bringing the realization to all of these people of the Christ presence and they have joy. You know, brethren and sisters, revival brings gladness. And when you see Jesus with the illuminating grace of the Holy Ghost, it'll thrill your heart and it'll bring you joy and gladness. It will. Isn't that what the church needs? Oh, we sing. Yes, we sing. But do we have this jubilation? We need this quickening visitation. We need these times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, bringing us new life. New leaping life, new life, even in the womb, bringing forth new life. We need the Holy Ghost to do that. And so there is jubilation.
And then there is sanctification as well, because he is the Holy Ghost. And he's called the Holy Ghost because he is the one who imparts holiness into the heart and life of his people. You know, he's not called holy because he's somehow different in holiness from the Father and from the Son. He's the Holy Spirit in that sense, that the Holy Father is the Holy Father and the Holy Son is the Holy Son. This has to do with his work in his creation. He is the Spirit of holiness. He is the one who imparts it to us sinners. And I tell you this, when the Spirit comes, your home is cleaned up. When the Spirit comes, your life is cleaned up. When the Spirit comes, you are sanctified more and more by his presence and by his working. That's why John the Baptist is to be the man that he is. He'll be great in the sight of the Lord. He'll not drink wine. He'll not drink strong drink. He'll not be under the intoxicating influences of anything. He'll be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. That's the kind of man he'll be. He'll not be driven by lusts and wine and drink and the flesh. No, he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit and he'll be under the impulse of that Holy Ghost, even from his womb. And that's why John the Baptist was enabled to be the separated man that he was, preparing the way of the Lord. Yes, he brings sanctification. And that's why he comes into the womb of Mary, so that this one who is in her womb will be that holy thing, because the power of the highest is going to overshadow her, and the Holy Ghost is going to come upon her, so that that humanity will be a holy humanity. That's what the Holy Ghost does when he comes. He's the Spirit of holiness. He doesn't leave us in the world. He doesn't leave us eating the vomit of the dogs or wallowing in the mire of the pigs. No, he sanctifies his people. This is a cleaned up house. This is a holy house. Now, don't get me wrong. We're not talking about second blessing experience. It's a progressive experience that the Holy Spirit brings, sanctifying us bit by bit. But I will say this, sometimes it comes in spurts. But it is never complete in this life. Glorification completes it. And so this holy home, 3 months of blessed fellowship, 3 months of growing in grace. These couple aren't running from one pleasure to another and going to that festival running about headless. No, I tell you, this couple are content in their home. This couple are content to sing. This couple are content to study the Word. This couple are delighting in the fellowship of each other with the things of God, because the Holy Ghost has come into their home. And that's what our homes need in this society. They're searching and seeking and running after this, that, and the other. Even Christians are running about like headless, mindless chickens, one thing to another, and they have not the contentment of a Spirit-filled house. And then there is glorification or exaltation. The Spirit brings this exalting spirit, this God-glorifying spirit into the heart and into the life. You see, these two women, as the Spirit comes upon them and infills them, what are they doing? What are they doing? They're glorifying the Lord. They're singing to the Savior. They're rejoicing in God their Savior. Doesn't Mary say it? My soul doth magnify or glorify the Lord. The Spirit has given them that. You know, we can't glorify the Lord aright until he comes into us by his Spirit. And I tell you, these women are glorifying God.
Let us eavesdrop on them. Do you hear what they are talking about? Have you not studied it? We have read it. I know we can't look at every word, but we can eavesdrop on what they're talking about. And who are they talking about? And what are they talking about? I mean, there's a lot of things they could be talking about. I look at Zacharias. There he is, sitting in the corner. Poor Zacharias. And they could be saying, oh, Zacharias isn't a very good Christian. Look at him. They could be saying that. They could be criticizing him. Oh, there's a worldly saint. Look at him. He hasn't got a word for God. He doesn't even believe the word that the angel gave unto him. He's a poor Christian. I don't hear that kind of talk going on in this house. Running down somebody else. I don't hear that. It's a sad Christian home it is when all your talk has to be talk about somebody else. There are some Christians, all they can do is talk about people. You know what I can say to you about those Christians? They're not spirit-filled. Full stop. This isn't a carnal home full of self-righteous Christians running down who they think are carnal believers, like that man Zacharias stuck there in the corner. No, this is a spirit-filled house. They're exalting Christ. They're speaking about the Lord. A Christianity that is negative, that is derogatory, that is malicious, that is self-righteous, is not Holy Spirit-filled Christianity. This is Holy Spirit-filled Christianity. Just look at Mary's words. If we just very quickly go through it. Just look at Mary's words there. My soul doth magnify the Lord. The Lord, my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior, my Savior. He hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. All generations shall call me blessed, for he, always the pronoun he that is mighty. He that is mighty hath done great things, and holy is his name, his mercy. He hath showed strength with his arm, verse 51. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats. He hath filled the hungry with good things. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spake to our fathers and to his seed. You see, Mary is a he woman. Always talking about him. That's a Holy Spirit-filled woman. And this is a Holy Spirit-filled house. What's the lesson, people of God? Well, surely the lesson is to pray more for the Holy Spirit in your life. To pray more for the Holy Spirit in your house. To pray more for the Holy Spirit in our congregation. In the words of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5, I merely quote them and close with them. Ephesians 5, verses 18 and 19, we read, be not drunk with wine. That brings us back to John the Baptist. The very mention of the matter. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And you want an example? Well, there's John the Baptist. That's what you're to be, child of God, and it's a command. You're responsible for the experience. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, because this will be always accompanied with the infilling of the Spirit, this singing. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. It'll make you a singing Christian. It'll make you a joyful saint. Be filled there.